Are you listening to me?
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 I don't know. I'm not even listening.
You're not listening to what I'm saying.
Listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Listen.
Now listen up and listen good, everyone.
No, I'm not listening.
The River Network presents Dimitri live and dangerously local on River Talk 1290, 100.1, 1430, and 100.9. Time to get your morning up to speed with Dimitri live and dangerously local, a River Network production.
Incredible show for you today. I know I say that every day, but only because it's true. Later on, we're going to be talking about East Ohio Regional Hospital. These poor people without insurance, and it just their paychecks, it's absolutely unbelievable. We'll be talking about that. Also talking about this breaking story. Wheeling City Councilman Ben Seidler said that there was human trafficking going on at that homeless encampment in Wheeling that's being run essentially by the city of Wheeling. And I read that in the editorial in the Unintelligencer. And I lost my mind yesterday. And I said, I can't believe this is happening. And the city is allowing this and all that. So I reached out to the city to find out how bad the human trafficking is at the homeless shelter, the homeless encampment, and how many arrests, and what does human trafficking mean, and this, that, and the other. And have I got a story for you. Again, Ben Seidler, Wheeling City Councilman, made these charges regarding the encampment, the homeless encampment, and I followed up yesterday after the show because I couldn't believe what I was reading. It's like, are you kidding me? He's just talking about this. This is going on, and nobody's doing anything about it. Well, I'll do something about it. So I did. I reached out to the city, to the city police department, and I have this information. Wait till you hear that. But first, there's a horrible fire that went on in Marshall County in Moundsville, and the state senator there, Chris Rose, full disclosure, I love this guy. I endorse this guy in his race in the primary against Phony Maroney, who's full of baloney. Chris Rose won, not just because of my endorsement, although that really was the major issue. And anyway, so he has been on top of this. He was out there, and I asked him to come on and talk about this, of course, because we have so many listeners in Marshall County throughout really the region here to Dimitri Live and Dangerously Local, and also talk with us about the elimination of the personal property tax and also ensuring reliable and affordable electricity and lots of great stuff to get to. So, Chris Rose, thanks so much for joining us, State Senator. Welcome back to Dimitri Live and Dangerously Local. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Dimitri. Thank you for having me back.
Great. So what is the latest regarding the fire? Because you were out there right after that.
Yeah, absolutely. So myself and Delegate Stevens and Senator Clements went up there Saturday morning to assess the aftermath. Half a block of Jefferson Street, which is downtown Moundsville, did burn up. But it was very impressive to watch how many different volunteer and professional fire departments responded to the scene of this fire. Over 20 departments from Wheeling to Benwood to McMacken to Moundsville to even parts of Ohio all came together as a community to put this thing out and save the rest of the street. And it's also pretty amazing when you're there talking to some of the people and the city manager or some of the other witnesses. You hear about as some of the buildings were on fire, some of the buildings nearby had some valuable possessions in them because these were all businesses and stuff. And this regular people in the community volunteered and put themselves in harm's way to get valuables out of buildings to help each other, help their neighbor. And, while this is definitely a tragedy for downtown Moundsville, you do hear a couple of good stories of heroism and bravery and optimism for now what can happen next as they continue to rebuild.
When you were there, tell me what you saw. Tell me what you experienced.
What I saw was obviously some people who own those businesses, been in their families, for 50, 60 years, who, they were torn, while they were optimistic for what could come next. Obviously, that was a huge part of their lives. The family businesses had been there for decades. And, it's like losing a loved one to them because it's, part of their entire life. I mean, that business existed before they were even born. And, they feel very torn about that. And, their whole life has been invested into it, but, the community had rallied around them, helped them with, a lot of it was already been cleaned up by the time we had even got there the next day. And even talking with the fire department and stuff, hearing about how some neat technology they deployed for the fire watch and stuff was pretty neat. So they got to use infrared technology with the drone to do the fire watch and make sure, you know, they hear the term hotspots, you know, in the mining industry, that's very, I was very familiar with that terminology from my, from the mining industry, but it's very neat to see what all they did. But I did learn of one concern for the city of Moundsville from their fire department. Their ladder truck, while it was very effective help put out this fire, it's kind of getting on its last leg, and I'm definitely advocating from state funding to get that thing refurbished. They're saying they need around $300,000 or $400,000 to do that. And while it's important for that to happen, it's the only ladder truck they have, and if they don't have it, the city would lose its safety rating, and the insurance rates of all its residents would go through the roof. So this is one of them times where we can spend money to save money and also ensure the safety of the city of Moundsville by getting that truck redone.
Did I hear you right? $300,000 to $400,000 just to refurbish the truck instead of getting a new truck?
Yeah, so if you look at these fire ladder trucks, a new one would probably cost you about $1.5 million.
Oh, man. Oh, jeez. Oh, that's unbelievable. What are the odds that you're going to be able to come through for the citizens of Marshall County with this new, well, the refurbishing of the fire truck?
So the good news is I do believe the Marshall County Commission has already pledged $50,000 towards this. My colleague, Senator Clements, has pledged $50,000 to his LEADA funding, and I'm applying for another $100,000 through my LEADA funding today, so that will give him two-thirds of the way there, and then I'm going to meet with Governor Morsi and ask for the rest.
Excellent. And did Governor Morsi win Marshall County?
Yes, sir, he did.
All right. Well, remind him of that. And if you still have a difficult time with him, just say, hey, Dimitri wants you to come through for the citizens of Marshall County. I'm sure that'll be the clincher, okay?
Absolutely. That'll put it right over the top, I'm sure.
I don't doubt that for a second. Did you have a chance to speak with any of the people, any of the victims?
Yeah, I got to speak to a couple of the business owners that were there. The good news is they all were insured. So, they are covered in that regard. I mean, obviously, that doesn't take away the pain of their business going up in flames, but at least to be able to recoup some of the cost. And there's some interest in, you know, developing some new business there. And they're meeting with this. There's a developer named Taylor who's come forward. He's wanting to buy out all the businesses that burned to the ground and develop anew. And so they're having those meetings and discussions, but I can't promise they're going to sell or not, but they're definitely keeping an open mind for what's going to happen next for Jefferson Street.
Excellent. Good. And is there anything else I should have asked you regarding this terrible, tragic fire? And thank goodness nobody died in Moundsville.
No, I don't believe. I just think it's pretty impressive that that many towns and communities came together. You know, it just goes to show you who we are here in the Mid-Ohio Valley and as West Virginians and Mountaineers that, you know, we care about not only our own town, but our neighbors' towns as well, and put our personal lives and families, you know, on hold for a minute to go save the lives of others. And I'm just forever thankful for the firefighters and all 20 of those different departments that responded.
Oh, that is great. Live exclusive interview with West Virginia State Senator Chris Rose, great friend of the show. I love this guy. He's really going places. It really is. And I'm just glad to be a small part of this guy's career. Let's talk about what you can do to eliminate the personal property tax in West Virginia. You are working on that too, Chris Rose. Is that right?
Yes, sir. So that would have to be a constitutional amendment because in the state of West Virginia, it is constitutionally required to tax personal property. It was just that way. It was a copy and paste from the Virginia state constitution. We were formed as a state. So essentially it's taxation without representation. Now, a couple of years ago, the governor did develop a rebate program, but that is learning to be very cumbersome and, you know, very confusing for people as they're filing their taxes. And it's, so basically they have to pay the personal property to the county and then get a tax form and then try to ask for rebate from the state at the end of the year. And people are finding that process to be more complicated than originally discussed. And that's only for your personal property on your vehicles. That's not personal property for business owners who have business machinery and inventory taxes as well. And it's a tax that West Virginia has that Ohio and Kentucky doesn't have. And it's making us be at an economic disadvantage when you hear Governor Morsi talk about the backyard brawl of states. And what this would do, this would release some of the burden for those people as well. And also get rid of that bureaucracy where we're actually paying somebody to do these rebates on your vehicle taxes. You know, Tennessee doesn't have a vehicle tax. Florida doesn't have a vehicle tax. Well, why should we have this rebate program where we're actually spending money to pay a bureaucrat to process all these rebates?
Yeah, no question. And how much money are we talking about here with all the... In West Virginia, if you own a vehicle, you got to pay a personal property tax on this thing, and that's every year, right?
Right. So I have three vehicles. You know, we have, my wife and I both work for a living, so we have the philosophy of primary vehicle and then a backup. And for us, for the three vehicles, it's probably, I think, somewhere around $800 a year.
Oh, wow.
So, say for two vehicles, it's probably around $550-$600 for a family. And obviously, there was some controversy when this was tried in 2022. Some of the counties' commissioners raised some concerns about their funding because obviously the personal property tax money, a lot of it goes to them. But in this amendment here, to address that concern and make this constitutional amendment get across the finish line, it does say any revenue that the counties would lose as a result of elimination of this tax, the state would provide equal or greater value. So it's not a may, it's a shall that the state will give the counties their money to make sure the county's funding is not lost.
All right. Shall is really, really important. That's the order. It's like this will happen. When politicians say shall in a bill, that means this will happen. All right. That's very good. Now, how soon can we eliminate this damn personal property tax in West Virginia so our vehicles don't get taxed anymore?
So if this bill is passed this year, which you just made it out of the Senate Judiciary and it's going to Senate Finance, and once it goes through its whole, I'm just a bill process, it goes through the Senate, the House, and to the governor's desk, it will appear on the general ballot in 2026.
Okay, and the odds of this happening are pretty good?
It is pretty good. So this bill is it's very similar, but different than the one that came out in 2022. But we just redressed it a little bit to where the counties would have their insured funding, because that's one of the reasons why it failed in 22, was the legislature promised they would get the money for the counties if they lost it, instead of they shall. So I went in there and cleaned that language up. And I think that will mitigate the concerns that were in this a couple years ago, because this is going to be huge. When you talk about Trump and these data centers and Trump and, you know, all the manufacturing renaissance he wants to bring to the United States with steel and manufacturing, we have to eliminate this tax so we can win this backyard brawl.
No question about it. Whatever I can do here, Dimitri, live and dangerously local, to help push this through, just say the word. I mean, I don't know how much I can do, but as long as I got this thing here and they allow me to talk into it, anything I can do to help with this thing, just say the word. Live exclusive interview here with West Virginia Senator Chris Rose. He represents the 2nd District, which includes good portions of the Upper Ohio Valley, including Marshall County. He was there for the day after, going over the information, everything regarding the fire, spoke to people there, talking about the personal property tax elimination. Looks like it's going to be hopefully going away within a year, which would be great for our vehicles. We have a short break here and then want to talk with him regarding ensuring reliable and affordable electricity in West Virginia. He's also, this is a fourth generation miner. This guy understands energy. He is the chair of the Energy Committee in the state Senate, and they are very, very aggressively going after the different power companies to see what they can do to lower the electricity rates. So all that and so much more. Download the River Network app and then click River Talk. You get Dimitri 5 days a week, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, Dimitri live and dangerously local. Thursdays and Fridays, Dimitri encore and dangerously local. And you can also hear me on these great radio stations, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, and the Sturdy 1430. The audio path of totality. Later on, right after this interview, I'm going to be talking with you about Wheeling City Councilman Ben Seidler saying about the human trafficking going on at the homeless encampment in the city. I reached out to the city. I have the information. I will share all of that with you. It's really quite an amazing story, I got to tell you.